I'm going to make a couple notes. One, I hope I didn't apologize for being a little emotional, because I think that's healthy, for especially for men. That's not a bad thing. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. But it's okay. So I'm going to just say that. Second, if you ever wondered if we are a generous and gracious and welcoming and safe congregation, y'all can look at the fact that Dale, Woody Woodpecker, Watt is still right here. Okay, and Donna are still here sitting in their pews this morning. Just kidding. It's all good. It's all in good fun. This, like I said, this is kind of our last. Next Sunday, we're going to be really having a good give thanks Thanksgiving service. I'm looking forward to it. Working on it this week. And so this is really kind of our last stewardship Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I have this reaction to the word stewardship that's a little bit like that. It's like stewardship is the Jurassic Park dinosaur. I'm like, no. And I think that comes from, we learn this word in the church. And for some of us, it brings up just like, it's about money and budgets and maybe arguments at budget meetings, and it's fine to have differences of opinion on how we use our money and how we all that stuff, and it's important work, and we're going to talk about that. But it's not necessarily a really great word to me. And when I think of the idea of stewardship, it's often just framed in how do we get people to give money to the church. And he said, well, why? Why would people give money to the church? Well, to meet the budget, of course, to keep the lights on and the doors open, all these things. And those are all like valid things, but that to me is not an exciting and life-giving conversation. And, so for me, if I feel that way about the word and the idea of stewardship as I've learned it, I can only imagine that you can multiply that feeling times about 10 for people whose salaries are not paid by the giving of the church. And if you can probably multiply it maybe by 100 for people outside the church who just think religion is one big money grab. Stewardship is not like, we don't, that's not something we want to talk about, and it's not an exciting or a conversation that brings us alive, maybe. And that's really a shame. And the church, I think, maybe needs to own that a little bit, because the concept of stewardship is really, as I have been digging into it, well, for years, but really over the past few weeks, is really a beautiful idea and a rich concept. And if anything, it is core to who we are as humans, that we are stewards. It defines who we are, and that's basically what the scriptural story is saying. Human beings are stewards. And so we're going to go back and we're going to read two passages. One might be more obvious than the other. And we're going to just begin in Genesis 1, page 1, verse 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Our second scripture is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 27, and we're going to begin in verse 25. And all of you can just be thankful that I'm reading this text today, if nothing else. Over the king's treasuries was Azmavet, son of Adiel. Over the treasuries in the country, in the cities, in the villages, and in the towers was Jonathan, son of Uzziah. Over those who did the work of the field, tilling the soil, was Ezri, son of Chalub. Over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the produce of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shipmite. Over the olive and sycamore trees in the Shephelah was Baal Hanan, the Gederite. Over the stores of oil was Joash. Over the herds that pastured in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite. Over the herds in the valleys was Shaphat, son of Adlai. Over the camels was Obil, the Ishmaelite. Over the donkeys was Jediah, the Maron... almost got through it. Maranathite. Over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagrite. All these were stewards of King David's property. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. I hope you saw how all that kind of tied in at the end there. You might have been wondering, what are we talking about with all these names? And what I do want to talk about is three angles on stewardship. And the first is the beauty of stewardship. The beauty of stewardship. Because stewardship taps into this impulse that we have. I think all of us have it at some level. This impulse to change the world. Maybe we don't have it as strong now as we once did, or maybe we have it stronger now than ever, but there's a part of us that says, you know, this world isn't everything it could be. I'm going to change the world. And that's a great impulse in us, but it's also overwhelming for a lot of us. Because the world, if we look closely, is so broken in so many ways. And there are things about the world that have just seeped in and stained it so deeply that it's hard to know where to start changing things. Where do we even begin? This impulse to change the world can feel like that, those statues of Atlas with the world on their shoulders. It's like that is a heavy burden to bear, that impulse to change the world. And even more so when we realize how much we struggle to even change ourselves. I can barely change my socks. I'm 36. It's only downhill from here. It's not looking good.
That's why you do this, John.
Sockless Sunday. We're going to do that. I just came up with that. Let's do it. but no, you're right. Like, it's hard to just change the very simplest things about our own lives. Little habits that creep in. And so this idea of changing the world. And stewardship says, look, it's not your world to change. It's God's world. It's God's world. And it's like this section I just read from 1 Chronicles. You have King David, and all of these things are his. And we can talk about the issues of justice and equality in the ancient world, But these things are all his, vineyards and treasuries and valleys and camels and donkeys. These are all King David's. And for anyone, like, how do you even manage that? And so King David appoints, he has all these stewards. He says, these are mine, but you know, I don't remember any of the names. Let's see. Shephelah, you know, the olive and sycamore trees, take care of those, right? Asmiah, here are my treasuries. You look after those. And I think there's a whole different outlook when we understand that all of it is God's. And that God says, here, look, over this section here, you're a steward. It's not all up to you. It doesn't all belong to you. You don't have to figure out what are all the things you can do. It's mine. I have purposes for it. Just listen to me. Listen to me. And in Genesis 1 that we read, I think it can get back to that overwhelming place of God says, all of the fish and all the birds and all these are yours to reign over, to have dominion over. And that's God's sharing God's authority with us. That's God saying, look, this is my world, but you have a purpose. You have influence. You have an impact on this world, all over all of it. But then when we read into Genesis 2, we get another part of the story. I'm going to go there right now. Age two, that should be an easy one, right? Another part of the story, it says, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when nothing had sprung up from the ground, a stream would rise, and then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he'd formed. And then God, out of the ground, made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life, and the other tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And it goes from there. But I think the point is that God does, we have this beautiful picture of the creation of all things, this cosmic picture, and he gives humanity this great authority to reign over it and to do right by it. But then he plants this little garden. And he says that we only have one, and pretty soon two people, according to the story, I only have two people, just take care of this little garden. And I think there's a huge weight that lifts when we understand that all of us just have these little gardens that God has planted us in. And God says, till it. Keep it. Let life go. I'm the one who's given all the life. I'm making everything grow up here. But do your best to do right by it. To steward it. And so each of us, the call of stewardship is to start tending the gardens that God has placed you in. What's your garden? What's your little Eden? God's given you some sort of life, and he's given you some sort of authority, some sort of influence over something and someone. It could be as simple as the place that you live. It could be your neighborhood. It's certainly your church. We're just talking confirmation. We're a congregational church. Each of us has some level of authority and say and influence in how we do the things we do here. Start tending the garden that God has placed you in. Dallas Willard says that each of us has been given a little kingdom. We're all kings and queens in this world. And whatever your little kingdom is, reign wisely. Reign with justice. Reign with love. Be a good king or queen over the little kingdom that God has given you. And I think that's such a beautiful invitation to tend the garden. Tend the garden, cultivate life wherever God has placed you. It's the beauty of stewardship. The second point is the opportunity of stewardship. And that's really the question of, okay, so what's my garden? What do I have to steward? What's my treasury or my vineyard or my, my animals or my forests? What are those things that I'm supposed to have? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we spent time on this before, but I'm just going to give you a few ideas because some of them are less obvious than others. One thing that you have to steward is your story, your experiences. A lot of things have happened to you and you've done a lot of things. And the question is, what do you do with those things, those experiences? How do you tell your story? How do you allow your story to help you connect with someone else who might be going through something similar? Cultivate your story. Tell your story. Let your story connect with other people's stories. All of us have a story. How are you stewarding your story? Each of us have some passions. I mean, this in the good way. That there's some little fire in us that God has given. Yeah, fan that into flame. That's how we steward the passion. Say, God, what is this little dream you've put in me? And how do I bring that out in my life? How are you stewarding that little flame that God has put inside of you? All of us have gifts and abilities, things we are able to do. Again, some of these might be really obvious. We divide from an early age, we divide kids up into the talented and the gifted kids and the kids who are normal. I don't know. And that's sad because all of us have been given gifts and some of them are more easily recognized by the world. And some of them we have to do a little more searching. But all of us have gifts. Some of them are natural gifts. Some of them are things that you've worked hard, skills that you've worked hard to hone and crafts. But all of you have them. And the question is, how do we use them? How do you use them? Each of us is wired in a certain way. Each of us has a personality. And some of us are, and again, the world sometimes accepts different personalities more readily than others, but you have a personality. How do you take just kind of the way you're wired and allow it to help you to connect or help you to take a step back? Or, you know, how do you use the way you're wired to tend the garden, to cultivate the trees in your life? All of us have some sort of resources, both physical and material and time. All of us have resources of some sort. Some of us have more than others. It's not the question. The question is, how do I cultivate the garden that is right around me? What are the resources that you have? Again, this takes some digging. In your 3G plan, there's some questions that might help you do a little bit of that digging. We often don't appreciate the resources that we have. We don't see them as resources for whatever reason that we're able to use for the cause of love, but you have them. What are they? How are you using them? There are things that everyone has to steward. And I think part of the process is to look more closely at our lives through the lens of Christ, and through specifically the lens of the cross, I think opens up a whole new world when it comes to stewardship. Because if God can take this instrument, this wooden instrument of oppression and violence, the cross, and somehow steward it for the salvation of all people, what do you see when you look at your own life? What are those things even that might be, ugh, I don't want anything to do with that, but it's something that you have in your garden. How can it be stewarded for love and for the sake of others and for the sake of your own growth and health? That's the opportunity of stewardship, to look at our lives and take stock, do inventory of the many things that God has given us to steward. And finally, the invitation to stewardship. And I think that's really just to say that whatever we're doing, we're stewarding things. As Becky talked about last week, our souls, your soul is something to be stewarded. Our time, our physical resources, the planet. No matter what we're doing, we are taking what we've been given and putting it to some purpose, sometimes more consciously than others. We do this individually, we do this collectively, we do this as families, as churches, as nations. We take what we have and what we've been given and put it to some purpose. That is stewardship. The question is not whether we are stewards. The question is, how are we stewarding? And maybe even better, the question is, for whom are we stewarding? To whom do all of these things belong in the first place? Which takes us back to the beginning. To steward God's world means to love it into wholeness and shalom and flourishing. And I think what Jesus did, among many other things, is to show us what it looks like to steward a human life. And Jesus said, look, I'm not interested in stewarding my life for Rome or for the temple leaders, for King Herod or for the crowds or for my own selfish interests. Jesus very clearly says, I'm going to use my life for the glory of my Father and for the good of all humanity. Just one text in the Gospel of John that I think sums it up is at the Last Supper. And it says, now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And this is when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. This is how I'm going to steward the last moments of my life. All I need is a basin of water and some towel and a towel. And I'll show you what it looks like to use this life that God has given you for the purpose of love. Stewarding for God means taking the little garden God has created and where God has placed us and cultivating it and promoting the flourishing of life, the flourishing of the lives of all that grows there. We each have a little garden filled with each of our stories, our gifts, our needs, even our fears. And ultimately, the hope is that we create a culture in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods that promotes the flourishing of all people and all things. And it simply requires each of us to bring what we have, to bring what we have and say, how do I steward this half hour of my life? How do I steward the money that I'm making? How do I steward the relationships that I have with my parents, my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, my coworkers? How do I steward those relationships? How do we steward the church together? This is a gift. This little community where we come and sing and pray and hear God's word. How do we steward this? In what ways is this my garden to bring my trowel and my hoe and my tiller and my shovel and all these things? And how do I cultivate this space, this community? This is what stewardship is about. Stewards is who we are. It is never so crass as keeping the lights on so we don't close the doors. And shame on all of us religious folk, and especially us religious leaders, who have reduced stewardship to something like that. Stewardship is every bit as beautiful as sharing our lives so that we can more completely fill God's creation dream of humanity, giving ourselves to the wonder, the abundance, and the flourishing of life, and flourishing life of all the good things that sprang from the divine imagination, as God is constantly and always giving the divine self to us. Let's pray. Generous and life-giving God, may we be a community worthy of this ultimately worthy call. May we steward our lives and our church so as to fulfill your dream, for we all and it all belongs to you. Amen.